A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's nearing the end of an apartment decluttering project, and, like a lot of ADHD brains, he's hit the final boss, the sock drawer. His battle plan is radical but weirdly compelling. Buy a lifetime supply of identical socks. Same manufacturer, same size, same color. Enough pairs that laundry becomes a dump-and-go operation with no matching required. He's already done this with underwear and reports total victory. The questions: what brand, how many pairs for a size 12 US foot, and how do you stay strong when the sock normalizers come for you?
The orphan sock basket. I've seen it destroy people.
It's the domestic equivalent of a stone in your shoe. Small, constant, maddening.
For someone with ADHD, it's not just annoying, it's an open loop. Every unmatched sock is a tiny unfinished task sitting in your peripheral vision, quietly draining executive function. You walk past the laundry pile, you see that lone gray sock with no partner, and some part of your brain logs it as incomplete work. Multiply by 20 orphan socks. That's 20 microfailures staring at you every time you do laundry.
The sock drawer as a monument to deferred decisions.
So let's break down exactly how much time we're talking about, and why this isn't just a quirky preference. It's a legitimate cognitive optimization.
I want the number. The lifetime tally of sock matching.
So the average laundry load, socks take about 2 to 3 minutes to pair up. If you're doing laundry once a week, which is conservative for a household, that's 2 to 3 minutes every week. Over 50 years of adult life, you're looking at roughly 86 to 130 hours.
130 hours.
Pure sock matching.
That's 3.5 work weeks standing in front of a dryer, holding up socks like a forlorn customs agent checking passports.
For the ADHD brain, the friction is worse. It's a boring, repetitive, low-stakes task, which is exactly the kind of task the ADHD brain finds almost physically painful to start. So you don't just lose the time. You lose the time plus the mental overhead of dreading the time, plus the guilt of avoiding it.
I want to pause on that, because I think people who don't have ADHD here physically painful to start and think it's a metaphor. It's not.
It's really not. There's a concept in ADHD research called task paralysis or executive dysfunction barrier, where the brain perceives an unrewarding task as a genuine threat to its dopamine levels. It's not laziness. It's your brain's motivational circuitry refusing to engage with something that offers zero novelty, zero urgency, and zero immediate reward. Sock matching is the platonic ideal of that kind of task.
We're not just talking about saving time. We're talking about removing a recurring neurological tax.
A tax that compounds every laundry day. And here's the thing. Laundry day is already a multi-step ordeal. Wash, dry, fold, put away. Each step is a potential failure point for the ADHD brain. Sock matching sits right in the middle of that chain, acting as a bottleneck. You finish drying, you look at the pile, you see the socks, and suddenly the entire folding operation grinds to a halt because your brain goes, "Nope, not doing that part." And then the clean laundry sits in the basket for 3 days.
The laundry basket is temporary furniture. I know it well.
The proposition is, buy 30 to 40 pairs of the exact same sock. Any two socks you grab are a pair. When one gets a hole, you throw it out. The remaining socks still match each other. No orphans, no sorting, no cognitive overhead.
That's the system. And the prompt mentions that this has already worked with underwear. 30 identical pairs of boxer briefs, and laundry became just folding, not sorting. That's proof of concept.
Underwear is actually the harder test case, because underwear has more variables. Fit, fabric, waistband style. If Daniel's already cracked underwear, socks should be straightforward.
Which raises the question, why do we accept sock matching as an immutable law of domestic life? Nobody would design this system from scratch.
We inherited it. Socks used to be hand-knit, each pair unique, and you treasured them. Now they're mass-produced commodities, but we still treat them like heirlooms. The emotional architecture hasn't caught up to the industrial reality.
The ghost of sock sentimentality.
Think about it this way. If you were designing a clothing system for a Mars colony where every gram of payload matters and every minute of astronaut time is precious, would you include patterned socks that require matching? Of course not. You'd send 40 identical pairs of the most durable sock available and never think about it again.
The Mars Colony Sock Protocol. That's the standard we should be holding ourselves to.
All right, let's get into the numbers. How many socks do you actually need to buy for a lifetime supply, and which brands can survive that kind of commitment?
I want to know if there's a brand that will outlast me. That's the flex.
Let's do the math. Assume a sock lifespan of 2 to 3 years with weekly rotation. For a size 12 foot, you need something that fits well and doesn't shrink unevenly. That's critical. Start with 7 pairs for a weekly rotation. Add 3 spares for laundry day when half your socks are in the wash. Then add about 10 extra for wear and tear replacement over 3 years. That's 20 pairs minimum for a comfortable system.
20 pairs feels reasonable, but the prompt asks about a lifetime supply.
So if you lose or destroy 2 pairs per year, holes, lost in travel, mysteriously vanished in the dryer, that's 100 pairs over 50 years. But buying 100 pairs at once is impractical. You'd need a dedicated sock closet.
The sock vault.
The better approach is to buy 30 pairs now, then re-up every 5 to 7 years with the same model from the same manufacturer. That way you're not storing decades of socks, and you can adapt if the brand changes their sizing, which happens.
The real question is, which brand won't change on you? Which one has the institutional commitment to making the exact same sock year after year?
Let's go deep on 3 contenders. First, the gold standard, Darn Tough Vermont. Merino wool, made in the USA, unconditional lifetime warranty. No receipt required, no time limit, transferable between owners. About $25 a pair.
$25 per sock? That's a serious commitment.
And here's the thing. The warranty means you never buy socks again. You wear them out, you mail them back, they send you new ones. For a size 12 foot, you'd get their large, extra large, which covers sizes 10.5 to 12.5. Their men's micro crew cushion is the workhorse model.
You have to mail them in. That's friction.
That's the catch. You still have to package up your worn socks, ship them to Vermont, and wait for replacements. It's not zero effort. It's less effort than matching socks every week for 50 years, but it's not zero. And for someone with ADHD, that extra step. The trip to the post office, remembering to keep the mail-in envelope, that's a potential failure point.
The lifetime warranty is a lifetime warranty on the sock, not on your executive function.
All right, second contender, Gold Toe Ultratech. Cotton blend, about $15 for a six-pack, that's $2.50 a pair. Widely available, and this is the key, they've produced the same basic sock style since the 1930s. Their sizing consistency across batches is remarkable. For a size 12, their 10 to 13 range fits well.
The consistency is the killer feature. If you're building a system that depends on identical socks, batch-to-batch variation is the enemy.
The downside? No warranty. You wear them out, you throw them out. But at $2.50 a pair, replacement is cheap. The math works out, 36 pairs, which is 6 packs, would run you about $90. Replace every 3 years, and over 50 years, you're spending roughly $1,500. Compare that to Darn Tough. 30 pairs at $25 each is $750 up front, and the warranty means that's your total lifetime cost.
Darn Tough is actually cheaper over a lifetime, assuming you actually mail them in.
$750 versus $1,500. But only if you use the warranty.
What about Bombas? They're everywhere now.
Bombas makes a nice merino blend, about $13 a pair, and they donate a pair for every purchase. But, and this is the deal breaker, their sizing can vary between colors. Different dyes affect the fabric differently. So if you buy 30 pairs in charcoal, and then re-up with another 30 pairs in what you think is the same charcoal, the fit might be slightly different. That defeats the entire purpose.
Bombas is disqualified on grounds of being interesting.
They're too interesting for this strategy. You want boring socks. Boring is the whole point.
There's a hidden variable here that I want to surface.
Oh, this is huge. Even identical socks from the same batch can shrink differently if you wash them at different temperatures or dry them differently. You wash half your socks on hot, half on cold. You'll end up with socks that look identical but are physically different sizes. You've just recreated the matching problem you were trying to eliminate.
The system requires a protocol. Cold wash only. Low dry or air dry. Every single time.
If you mix drying methods, the system breaks. This is where the ADHD brain can actually excel. Once you commit to a protocol, it becomes automatic. The rule is simple. Socks always go in cold, always dry low. No exceptions, no decisions.
Like adopting a feral cat. You don't negotiate with the protocol.
Here's a practical tip from the research. Wash all new socks together 3 times before first wear. Pre-shrink them as a batch. That way, any initial shrinkage happens uniformly across the entire inventory.
That's a pro move. Seasoning the socks.
You're seasoning the socks. It's exactly like seasoning a cast iron pan, except instead of polymerized oil, you're dealing with cotton fibers contracting.
This is the kind of domestic engineering I respect. Alright, so we've got the math and the brand sorted. But here's the thing. The hardest part of this strategy isn't the logistics, it's the people.
The sock normalizers.
The people who will look at your drawer of 30 identical charcoal socks and feel personally attacked.
This is a real psychological phenomenon. There are 3 reasons people push back on this. First, socks as self-expression. Patterned socks are one of the few low-risk ways men especially can signal personality in professional settings. Fun socks say, I'm approachable but competent. Eliminating that channel feels threatening to people who've invested in it.
The glockenspiel of corporate approachability. You're at the meeting, you cross your legs, and there's a flash of argyle that says, I'm detail-oriented, but I also have a whimsical side.
If you take that away, some people genuinely don't know what to do. I've talked to guys who have entire sock personalities. Monday is stripes, Wednesday is polka dots, Friday is novelty. Their sock drawer is a calendar.
Which, to be fair, is a system. It's a high-maintenance system, but it's a system.
If that system brings someone joy and doesn't cause friction, they should keep it. This strategy isn't for them. This is for the person who looks at the sock calendar and feels exhausted. Second, sunk cost. People have invested in 20 different sock styles over years. The idea of discarding all of them feels wasteful, even if the ongoing cost of maintaining that variety is higher than the one-time cost of switching.
The sock endowment effect. You value what you already own more than what you could have.
Third, the what-if anxiety. What if the manufacturer discontinues the sock? This is a real risk. I've seen it happen. A beloved model gets updated, the fit changes slightly, and your system breaks.
How do you mitigate that?
Buy 2 to 3 years of extra stock up front and store them in a sealed bin. Or choose a brand with an institutional commitment to consistency. Gold Toe has literally sold the same sock for decades. Darn Tough's core lineup hasn't changed meaningfully. These are safe bets.
There's also the social pressure. The aunt who buys you novelty socks every Christmas.
This is the gauntlet. And the prompt specifically asks how to stay strong in the face of sock normalizers.
My answer, the sock donation bin. Accept the gift warmly, thank the giver, and immediately place the socks in a designated donation bin. Never wear them. The giver never needs to know.
If you're consistent, people stop buying you socks. Gift-giving is a feedback loop. If you never wear the fun socks, eventually the gift-givers notice and pivot to something else.
What do you redirect them to?
Coffee, wine, fancy olive oil. Things you'll actually use. Frame it as, I'm doing a minimalist wardrobe experiment, rather than, I hate your gift. The former is interesting and intentional, the latter is rejection.
I'm doing an experiment is the social cheat code for any unusual behavior. People accept experiments. They don't accept threats to their worldview.
That's what's really happening here. When someone sees your identical sock drawer, they're not reacting to the socks. They're reacting to the implication that their own system might be suboptimal. Your choice is a quiet critique of their choice.
Every lifestyle optimization is an implicit argument.
And people feel that. So the question becomes, how much do you care about other people's discomfort with your sock system? And the answer, for most people who'd adopt this strategy, is not much.
Let's zoom out for a second. This isn't a sock strategy. This is a cognitive load reduction strategy that happens to use socks as the substrate.
This is where the uniform dressing philosophy comes in. Steve Jobs, black mock turtleneck from St. Croix, Levi's 501 jeans, New Balance 991 sneakers, Mark Zuckerberg, gray t-shirt. Barack Obama limited himself to blue or gray suits during his presidency. These aren't fashion choices, they're decisions eliminated.
Roy Baumeister, 1998.
Baumeister's research showed that willpower is a finite resource. Each decision you make depletes it. By the end of a day of decision-making, your ability to make good choices is compromised. So eliminating trivial decisions, what to wear, what socks to put on, preserves cognitive resources for decisions that actually matter.
The classic Baumeister experiment was the radish and cookie study, right? Participants who had to resist fresh-baked cookies and eat radishes instead gave up on a subsequent puzzle task much faster than the control group. The act of resisting the cookies depleted their willpower for the puzzle.
That's the one. And the implication is profound. Every small act of self-control or decision-making draws from the same limited reservoir. So when you spend willpower on sock matching, you're literally borrowing from your ability to focus on work, or be patient with your kids, or make good food choices later that day.
For an ADHD brain, the depletion curve is steeper. Every micro decision isn't just a tiny drain, it's a potential derailment. You go to choose socks, you get distracted by the variety. You start thinking about which pair goes with which outfit, and suddenly you've lost 5 minutes in your train of thought.
The sock drawer as cognitive quicksand.
The uniform dressing philosophy is really about designing systems that work with your brain instead of against it. The sock strategy is a microcosm of a larger philosophy.
It's not about being boring. It's about being free. Free from the mental overhead of trivial choices. Free to focus on things that actually matter. The goal isn't aesthetic monotony. It's cognitive liberty.
There's an edge case here. Athletic socks versus dress socks versus casual socks. For someone who wears size 12 and favors functional wear, do you really need just one sock type?
For most people, the answer is two types. A mid-cushion crew sock for every day, that's your darn tough or gold-toe workhorse, and a no-show sock for summer or when you're wearing shorts. Same brand, same color family. That's two sock types, not one. Still far fewer than the typical 8 to 10 types most people accumulate.
Two sock types is still a radical simplification. You're not matching within each type, you're just choosing between types based on the shoe.
Based on the shoe is a decision with clear criteria. It's not which of these 27 patterned socks expresses my mood today. It's, am I wearing boots or sneakers? That's a functional distinction, not an aesthetic one.
The Reddit case study. Someone on the minimalism subreddit bought 50 identical pairs of black ankle socks in 2018. As of now, they still have 32 pairs in rotation. They haven't matched a sock in 8 years.
8 years of laundry with zero sock matching. That's roughly 20 hours of life reclaimed. And the beautiful thing is, the system compounds. Every week you don't match socks, the habit reinforces itself. It's not a one-time saving, it's an annuity of reclaimed attention.
The sock dividend.
And this connects to a broader movement, the One Bag Travel Community. People who own exactly one backpack and one set of clothes. The logic is the same, reduce variables, reduce stress. When you have fewer things, you spend less time managing them.
There's a philosophical tradition here that goes back way before minimalism was a lifestyle brand. Monastics have worn the same robes for centuries. The idea that simplicity enables focus is ancient.
Now it's being rediscovered through the lens of cognitive science. The mechanism is the same. Reduce external noise to amplify internal signal. But we now have the vocabulary to explain why it works.
If you're ready to make the leap, here's exactly what you need to do. Starting tonight.
Let's build the shopping list. Option 1, the premium path. Darn tough men's micro crew cushion in charcoal. Size large, extra large for US 12. Buy 30 pairs. Total cost about $750. You now have a lifetime supply backed by a lifetime warranty. When a sock wears out, mail it to Vermont, get a new one. You will never buy socks again.
Option 2, the value path. Gold toe Ultra Tech. 6 packs. Buy 6 of them. 36 pairs. Total cost about $90. Replace every 3 years. Total lifetime cost around $1,500, but the upfront hit is much lower.
The implementation plan. Step 1, discard all existing socks. Donate them. Even singles are accepted by textile recycling programs. The waste is minimal compared to the ongoing waste of buying new socks every year.
Step 2. Buy your chosen sock in bulk. Step 3. Wash all new socks together 3 times before first wear. Cold water, low dry. Pre-shrink them as a unified batch.
Step 4. Store extras in a sealed bin in the closet, not scattered across drawers. One location, one system. Step 5. When a sock gets a hole, discard it immediately. Don't wait for a pair to fail. Every remaining sock still matches every other remaining sock.
That last step is psychologically important. The instinct is to hold onto the holy sock because its partner is still good. But the system only works if you're ruthless about removal.
The system is the product. The individual sock is just a component.
What about the meta lesson here? This strategy works for any frequently used, low-variety item.
Underwear is the obvious one. The prompt mentions that's already been done. Anything where the decision cost is high and the differentiation value is low.
The key is knowing your own brain. For the prompter, socks are high cost, low value. For a fashion enthusiast, socks might be low cost, high value. The variety brings joy, and the matching isn't a burden.
This is not a universal prescription. It's a targeted intervention for a specific kind of cognitive friction. If you love your sock collection, keep it. If your sock drawer is a source of low-grade dread, nuke it.
There's a misconception we should address. The idea that buying a lifetime supply of socks is wasteful because you have to throw away perfectly good socks when you switch systems.
Textile recycling programs accept single socks. They get shredded and turned into insulation or industrial rags. The environmental impact of discarding a drawer of old socks is negligible compared to, say, one long-haul flight. And the ongoing waste reduction, buying fewer socks over a lifetime because you're not constantly replacing mismatched pairs, probably nets out positive.
Another misconception, all socks of the same size are interchangeable.
Different brands, different colors within the same brand, differ production runs. They can all fit differently. You must buy the exact same SKU every time. Same model number, same color code, same size. This is a procurement operation, not a shopping trip.
The SKU is sacred.
The SKU is sacred. And one more, a lifetime warranty means you never buy socks again. Reality check. You still have to mail in the worn socks and wait for replacements. That's a small ongoing effort. It's far less than matching socks weekly, but it's not zero. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
I want to talk about the social pressure gauntlet one more time, because I think this is where a lot of people falter. They're convinced by the logic. They buy the socks, and then Christmas comes.
The novelty sock offensive.
You're sitting there with a pair of socks that have tacos on them, trying to figure out how to be grateful without compromising your system.
The strategy is pre-communication. Before gift-giving occasions, tell your family, I've switched to a uniform sock system. Please don't buy me socks. I'd love coffee or wine instead. Frame it as a positive request, not a prohibition.
If they ignore it, because someone always ignores it, you smile, you thank them, and the socks go directly into the donation bin. You are not required to wear a gift.
Gift-giving is about the act of giving, not the utility of the object. The giver has already received their reward, your gratitude in the moment. What happens to the socks after that is not their concern.
That's a liberating reframe. You're not being ungrateful. You're honoring the ritual of gift-giving while maintaining your system.
Over time, the system becomes self-reinforcing. People stop buying you socks because they never see you wear them. The feedback loop closes.
Let's talk about where this philosophy goes next. As AI and automation reduce cognitive load in other areas, the uniform dressing philosophy may become more mainstream. The sock strategy is a canary in the coal mine for a broader shift toward intentional simplicity.
There's a future where a lot of daily micro decisions get automated away. What to eat, what route to take, what to wear. The question becomes, what do we do with the freed up cognitive bandwidth? Do we fill it with more trivial decisions, or do we direct it toward things that matter?
The sock drawer is a small thing, but the principle scales. If you can eliminate the cognitive overhead of socks, what else can you eliminate? What other systems in your life are quietly draining attention without delivering value?
That's the open question we want to leave listeners with. What other areas of life could benefit from this buy once, never decide again approach? The prompt mentioned underwear. What about belts, hats, even phone chargers? What about meal planning? What about your morning routine?
The goal isn't to be boring. It's to be free. Free from the mental overhead of matching socks. Free to focus on things that actually matter.
Here's a concrete challenge. Try it for 30 days. Buy 10 identical pairs of your most worn sock. Don't commit to a lifetime supply yet, just 10 pairs. See how it feels to reach into your drawer and grab any two socks without thinking.
10 pairs is a low-stakes experiment. If you hate it, you're out $25 and you've learned something about yourself. If you love it, you've just reclaimed about 2 hours a year.
If the sock normalizers come for you, send them to us.
We'll handle them.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1960s, plant breeders discovered that emmer wheat, one of the earliest domesticated grains, contains a unique protein called gliadin that, when analyzed chromatography, produces a pattern of 17 distinct peptide peaks, making it chemically distinguishable from modern bread wheat, which produces only 12.
17 peptide peaks.
The takeaway is simple. If your sock drawer is a source of friction, you can eliminate it with about $90 and an afternoon of decisiveness. The system works. The math works. The only thing stopping most people is the social pressure to have interesting socks. And interesting socks, frankly, are overrated.
Boring socks. Interesting life. I'll take that trade.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you try the sock strategy, let us know how it goes. My Weird Prompts.
Or don't. We'll assume the silence means you're enjoying your reclaimed 130 hours.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.